Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, we have bad tables, bad tasting cakes, and wrestlers having a bad day. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
What is up, everyone? We are live on AfterBuzzTV.com, AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify even. Like, subscribe, tell your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzz TV as we break down this week's Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. What's up, everybody? I am Josh Tariff. Gabby, out on assignment, a.k.a. the Impact Wrestling pay-per-view.
Yep.
So she's out of town, but don't worry. Tom Connelly is here with me.
I am here.
You are here. Sporting that yes. pretty nice Dan O'Brien hoodie. Mm-hmm.
Bought this weekend, you know.
That's a terrible lie. An awful lie. You're never getting the present again.
I bought it myself.
You go ahead. I'm not going to stop you from it. We just all know it's not true. Because we have video evidence on it from last week.
Nope, we erased it. Sorry.
Erased from everyone's memory.
I gave you the present myself. We put that in there.
Editing. What a concept on a live show. So this week's SmackDown, I thought it was kind of we had a few returns.
Yep.
We tried propelling some storylines heading into Rumble, and then there were some storylines that were like, okay, we're moving these along, which is great, but where is it going to?
Yeah.
And it's like, because it doesn't seem like, okay, this is something that we're going to end at Rumble.
Which I think
where
is good,
are we
going
to end it? Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm just making an observation.
You need things on the back burner to, you know, it can't all just be about the Royal Rumble, because I feel like a lot of times they only put emphasis on that as the match of the night, which it is, but you can't just have two Rumble matches on one show, and that's it. There has to be other matches along with it.
Well, that's about 2 hours right there.
Yeah, but pay per view is like 17 hours.
Yeah,
now.
They should fix that.
I get done watching it like 3 in the morning now.
I get done watching it on Thursday because I need to take breaks.
Yeah.
Well, SmackDown starts with the most must-see WWE interview show in history. We're welcome to Miz TV.
Yep.
And he says, biggest guest of all time. His good friend, our good friend, his former tag team partner, John Morrison, is his partner, but he's also his guest on the show. Mm-hmm. And Morrison comes out to a very muted response from the crowd.
Yes.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Well,
I watched it live.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I guess like West Coast feed live.
Okay,
so gotcha. I guess technically it was 3 hours old.
What were you watching it on, though? On
Fox.
On your Fox, okay.
And the crowd sounded very muffled.
Yeah.
It was very interesting because just like, I know they're louder than that.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody.
Yeah.
Not just John Morrison. I was just like, I was kind of intrigued. I'm like, why is it being muffled so much?
Yeah.
And I remember when you watched it, you texted me exactly what I was thinking.
I was just like, why can I not hear? Well, the thing that I thought was weird about the whole thing is that it made the whole show awkward. Like, it's one of the only times I've ever watched wrestling and been like, this is real awkward. In the next segment, it was real weird, the Kofi, Big E stuff, when they were doing that promo. And then even that first match, you just couldn't hear the crowd. There was no – it was like they were in a vacuum, and you couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, I don't know if there was just some weird – if they just decided to muffle them all.
Yeah.
Or if for some odd reason there was a problem with their mic feed for the cameras, or
the thing
what?
That was weird was – so I watched it on Hulu, and that's where it sounded weird. But then I also watched the – I taped it on – like DVR'd it on Sling, and it sounded different there.
Oh, really?
So I think either somehow the feed got really messed up and it just was like – I don't know. It was very awkward. And I was like, this is so crazy. He just came back and nobody cares?
Yeah. It just seemed like, hey, this is the first time in 8 years he's in a WWE ring.
Yeah.
And he is amazing and you all love him.
But and even when The Miz came out, like it wasn't even like – when he was like waiting before The Miz TV, like you could hear the crowd kind of booing him. Mm-hmm. But not as much as I was like – I figured they would be booing
him. Yeah. So John comes out and – he talks about how he was planning on having his epic return be at the Royal Rumble, mm-hmm. like what we touched on mm-hmm. a little bit last week.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I saw that my friend needed me. And I'm there for my friends. Because that's what friends do. Because mm-hmm. John Morrison and The Miz are sweet people. And there was a very awkward moment during this interview with John. Mm-hmm. Because he's getting ready to make his first heel line. And, you know, say, like, I've realized after all this how disappointed I am in you guys. Mm-hmm. And right before he says that, he points at someone and laughs. And it's just like, that was a very awkward transition. I'm like, I hate you. That was pretty much what he was trying to get.
And when you call someone a turd burglar, and then he started calling someone a douchebag, and then he got cut off real fast, which I was like, I don't know if he was supposed to keep going, or they were just like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah, I don't know. And then eventually he started doing that. Mm-hmm. New Day's music hits. And because Miz tried to apologize to Kofi in the midst of all this, they come out. Kofi says, I don't believe you. And all these people are right when they say you suck. They argue back and forth. And this leads to Miz versus Kofi with Morrison and Big E on commentary. Mm-hmm.
Do you think we could get, I mean, I know it wouldn't happen, but somehow getting the you suck chance transferred now to the Miz instead of Kurt Angle? Could we get that in Miz's song?
There's some fans somewhere that's figured it out.
I know.
They're probably in the UK because they're the ones who create everything on the songs. Mm. I mean, they already go awful at the beginning of it.
Do they?
Yeah. If they boo him, they say awful instead of awesome.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I just say awesome, so. Yeah.
Because we think he's awesome. The one big thing that I took away from the commentary part with Morrison and Big E is Morrison asked Big E, did you ever ask Kofi for a title shot while he had it? Mm. And Big E's, you know, telling him, like, no, when he wins, we all win. Mm. And Morrison's like, that's dumb.
True.
He's like, Miz and I are great friends, but if one of us is champion, we're giving the other one a title shot because we all want to be champion.
I don't believe that at all in saying that. So I thought I liked having them both on commentary, but I felt it was awkward at the same time. Like, I just felt everything about the first, like, 30 minutes of the show felt real awkward. It may have been the crowd thing, but
I think the crowd thing played into it. And again, we're not blaming the actual crowd itself. It might have just been a sound issue. Yeah. We don't know. But
I was going to blame the crowd.
Well, because you are a bad person.
Yeah. Well, listen, they messed up. It was their fault. They were not loud enough to get over the.
Do you hear sound that, Evansville, problem. Indiana? Tom Connolly hates you all. You can send hate mail to Tom Connolly, care of AfterBuzz TV. End of the match. Eventually, Big E and Morrison are off commentary. They're just in their respective corners. And Big E's being distracted by The Miz on the outside. And Morrison does this really cool, like, parkour flip off the steps.
Yep.
Takes out Big E. This distracts Kofi in the ring. Miz slides behind him, gives a skull crushing finale. And honestly, with the exception of when Kofi lost to Brock, was this the first singles loss that Kofi has had since he won the title last WrestleMania?
I think so. I really do.
So this is a massive win for The Miz.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't remember him losing.
He's lost some tag matches.
Yeah. Yeah, after he lost to Brock, they did lose a couple tag matches before they won the belts back.
Right, but I don't recall another singles match. No. And chat roll, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think pretty much in almost a year, he's had two singles losses, Brock and Miz.
Yeah, and I think this is great for The Miz because now he can just brag about how he beat Kofi, who was a former champion.
Right.
And give him even more of a shot at getting back at Bray.
And next week, we have Morrison making his in-ring return against Big E.
Which I am super excited for.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a great match.
I think that match is going to be so fun.
Yeah.
Talk about a contrast in styles. Mm-hmm. We have Firefly Funhouse. And now we're putting all the pieces together for this Bray Wyatt-Daniel Bryan feud. Because the key thing in this was,
he wanted Brian to remember, then he wanted to change you, and now he wants to hurt you. Brings up time in the Wyatt family, brings up how he tried to change him by pulling his hair out, mm-hmm. and now he just wants to destroy him.
I liked it. I mean,
great.
I love the Funhouse stuff. It's just so entertaining because you really have no idea where it's going every time.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, all right, what's he going to say this week? Which I think is the best thing about SmackDown now, because we have something that's super interesting every time it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never, like, even if it's kind of boring or not the best thing, it's still interesting to see where he goes with it and see what this weird plan he has, because where does he go from here? Like, after, if Daniel Bryan doesn't beat him,
who does he go after next? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if Daniel Bryan does beat him,
then what does he do?
Yeah. Because he's facing the Fiend.
As far as I know.
Yeah, it's not Bray Wyatt. So, well, like Brock Lesnar, who says Bray Wyatt can't be in the Royal Rumble, and the Fiend have a match.
I hate that, by the way. I am so annoyed that Brock's in the Rumble.
Why?
Because the point of being in the Rumble is for people to try to have an opportunity to face either the Raw or SmackDown champion at mm-hmm. WrestleMania. So if those champions are in the Rumble match, that takes one or two people out of the match who could possibly be in there to earn that shot.
Yeah, but then we can finally get Bray Wyatt versus Fiend. I think it's interesting.
So you want to combine the brands again.
I mean, but also, who is he going to face that if he loses Brock, that we're just going to be like, whoever he goes against, he's going to they're going to lose.
Well, if Brock wins, he could possibly take WrestleMania off if he wins.
That was the one thing I tweeted. I said, Brock is trying to be in the Rumble so he can take WrestleMania off.
I mean, but I also think it's very obvious that, I mean, I think so, that he's not going to win.
No, he's not going to win.
Like, they're doing this to set up his WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Which I think, if it's against Cain Velasquez, I think it's a waste of time.
Probably Tyson Fury.
Oh, even that's a waste of time.
I would not be surprised if Brock's number one and Tyson Fury is number two and he eliminates Brock right away. That's sigh. Worse. Get me a loop of that sigh. I need that sigh,
that
chat
is
roll.
Even worse than... Worse than... Like... I'd almost rather Brock last to the end, and then Tyson Fury just comes out of nowhere and punches him and eliminates him or something.
Well, supposedly the thing is, on the rap sheets right now, is supposedly a leaked image of what the main event of WrestleMania is going to be.
That, yeah.
And it's going to be Brock apparently going up against Tyson Fury. I don't know how true that is, but if that's the case, yeah, not a great main event.
Yeah, the rest of the card was really crappy, too. if you saw the tweet.
I have not seen it, but so many things obviously are going to change between now and then.
Yeah.
I would not even look at
it. Well, if that's the card, they got a lot of work to do.
Batista, I think it was a week or so, someone showed the card of WrestleMania 30.
No, that was Punk.
Oh, Punk.
I was going to say X-Pac.
Punk.
Punk.
Punk showed it, and it was just like, looking at that card, it was just like, wow, it got much better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it always does.
Yeah. So that's why I'm not worried about that.
But I also saw online that they're, at least before this picture came out, that this is like one of the first years that they're still very like open about, like wide open about what's going to happen at Mania.
Sure.
So, because look what happened last year with Kofi.
Yeah. We have a quick song by Elias. I was confused by this because he really only talked about guys on Raw.
It was dumb.
This one was kind of dumb. I'm winning the Rumble, and I'm going to take you out, Brock, and eliminate all these other people.
It was
This
was probably his worst song.
It was not good.
Because he didn't talk trash, really.
No.
Like, the thing he talked trash was, oh, Brock, I don't like you because you're never there. That's old news.
Yeah.
We already know that.
We all feel
and that. Everything else was just weird.
Yeah.
I like when he's just like, making fun of people.
Yeah. Mandy Rose versus Alexa Bliss.
Mandy, now, talk about before.
Yeah, I was going to say just before it though. Mandy, before she heads to the ring, finds Otis, and Tucker's trying to tell Otis to forget about Mandy, but Mandy shows up with an "I'm sorry" cake
with a dump truck on it.
With like, yeah,
I
like
think, yeah.
dump truck. He's like, oh,
it's, trash
you
know, truck on it?
It's cute. It's like you guys, and I'm sorry to you guys.
No, I have to say this. Why was the cake so much smaller than the box?
That's a fair question.
Like, come on, props. If you're going to, like, if you're going to the store, to, like, someone obviously had to make that cake. We couldn't have gotten the, at least a box or made the cake bigger. Otis is a big dude. He wants a lot of cake.
By the way, Chat Roll is saying, as far as what we were guessing with Kofi, we were correct. That was his only singles loss, was Brock. Wow. Proud of Miz. This, since Mania.
Wow.
So, I don't know if they're 100% correct, but I'm going with the Chat Roll because we love them.
Yeah.
So, that leads into the Mandy and Alexa Bliss match. Mm-hmm. It was actually a pretty hard-hitting match between the two of them. There were a lot of, lot of like forearms and slaps and everything in this match. Heavy Machinery come out. Otis is acting very provocative with the I'm sorry cake. And this distracts Alexa, which leads Mandy.
Wouldn't it distract anybody?
Apparently just Alexa. And then it, then Mandy rolled her up, got the surprise win, and Mandy's smiling at Otis. Otis is enjoying the cake. Mm-hmm. Tucker's looking at two of them, wondering what's going on. And Sonya's like, there.
Sonya's like, what is happening right now? What? Can we stop with the roll-ups as finishers in these matches? Please. It's 2020 now. I'm over it. I'm over it. Let her hit her finishing move and then pin her because she's already distracted. Why are we not? Why? What? Like, is that supposed to make Alexa look better or worse? Like, that makes her look worse.
I agree.
It makes her look really dumb.
If she turned into, like, well, her finisher is the double arm underhook.
Yep, uh-huh.
But even if she turned and got the big knee, which she's won some matches with, that'd be fine.
But that's the thing. Like, hit the knee and then do your finisher. Like,
you don't even need to. If you hit the knee and it was so sudden, that could have worked fine.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But she hit it earlier in the match, so she didn't win with it. But, like, at least something. We can't just have these dumb roll-ups because it makes the person losing look even worse than the person winning.
Lacey Evans versus Sasha Banks.
Oh, wait. I want to say one more thing.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Please. Go on.
We need, next week on SmackDown, we need a double date with Otis and Tucker and Mandy and Sonya. I know Sonya is not into guys, but I think it would be... Why wouldn't she bring her along with her just because to be, like, the buffer?
You realize in about 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have another edition of They Listen because we're going to get that.
I tell you next week. Say we told you so. If it doesn't
happen. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. We told you so. I'll take it, Josh. I will take that. They are totally going to do that, and it's going to be the type of thing where – Otis is acting super shy.
I'm gonna call it right now, okay?
Tucker and Sonya are just going to be on their phones.
This is what they're going to be doing. It depends where they're going. I think it's a double date.
Steakhouse.
No. No, I'm going to say mini golf. But it depends where they are. mini golf or bowling. Because, you know, Otis
can... You can, like, do bowling and a steakhouse.
Otis... You can do so many jokes. Otis can grab the balls and be playing with them. Tucker can grab a blue ball. I don't know. There's a lot of things you can do there, humor-wise, that they would do. So I'm calling it right now.
Before the Rumble, this is happening.
And then either...
In like the next 2 or 3 weeks, this is happening.
Yeah. All right, good. I'm glad.
Oh, God.
I can't wait to watch now. Thanks,
Someone guys. Has to postmark this. That is totally happening. All right, so Lacey versus Sasha Banks doesn't actually happen because Sasha's not there. Right. Bayley mentioned she's not there. Lacey pretty much challenged Bayley. Bayley refused. Lacey chased after her. They brawled in the back. The refs eventually separated them. They're really trying to build Lacey as the top babyface on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And if she's not having the match with Sasha... Probably going to be having the match with Bayley at the Rumble at this point.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
Either like Sasha's just going to spoil it or something.
Well, she's working on that rap album.
I know. But they've been hyping this match for... They were supposed to have it last week and they didn't. Yeah. Now they're supposed to have it this week. I think it's going to be either... Maybe it gets proposed of like Lacey has to beat Sasha to get a title shot kind of thing.
Sure.
And one thing that I wish they would have done, which I think they can maybe do later... if they're really building up Lacey, when she went, I wish she like goes for the women's right and like Bayley just kind of ducks.
Mm-hmm.
If they really want to sell that, I feel like she should go for it, but then like hit a wall or something and like hurt her hand, so she can't win with the woman's right.
Or
to add to the story,
or she breaks through the wall because she's so damn strong.
Maybe, but I mean, I think I think we need to have some sympathy for her. So if she broke her hand, then how is she gonna win?
She has
no way to win if she can't hit the woman's right.
You force Lacey to wear red, like, just wear like a protective glove.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Man, we're getting a lot of stuff done tonight. I hope you guys are listening.
Man, and creative. They're not paying us. They really should start doing that. I had to pay for that hoodie he got.
Yeah, see?
I didn't get a discount or anything. Other than their usual daily sales they have on
the
WWE
shop. We
could have
got it for free.
Yeah.
And we could have just walked
it could have been a perk.
We could walk right up to the merch stand and been like, hey, can I get, I need that one.
Yeah.
Fresh out of the box. We could have had matching hoodies.
We could have. One day.
People are like, what are these?
We don't know what we're
about.
Talking about at this point. When Gabby's not here, we get lost, guys. I'm sorry. Strowman versus Nakamura, non-title match, so you know how it's going to end. Whenever the mid-card champion is in a non-title singles match.
Yeah, can we stop this?
Stay
too?
Loose!
Things we need to stop in 2020. That's gonna be my thing this year. Things that need to end in 2020. No roll-ups.
Why?
No champions losing non-title matches.
Why couldn't we have... I know Cesaro and Braun just had a match last week, which was a very good match. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't we have had Sammy come out and say, this was a fluke. You can't beat Cesaro, and you certainly can't beat Nakamura. Mm-hmm. You know, if you somehow beat Cesaro again, you earn a title shot at Nakamura. Yeah.
It's
not if you beat him one. If you beat him, you should be the damn champion.
You mean Fidel Castro said that, right?
Yes.
Because I don't know what... Sammy, what are you doing, man?
Oh, God.
Right? Every time I see him now, I'm like, wait, I was like, who does he look like?
Well, he's a liberator.
I know. I mean, look at him in the picture.
He looks scary right there.
He does. He looks really scary. And Sammy dancing to Nakamura's music is... the best.
That is quite entertaining.
He is like the best hype man.
He's a pretty damn good hype man. I'm not going to lie. So the end of this match was kind of confusing. So Cesaro tried to come in and attack with a chair. Mm-hmm. The ref catches him. Can't do it. All of a sudden, Sammy hands a belt to Nakamura. He then tries to attack Braun with the title. The ref catches him. Mm. And then Braun lifts Nakamura up into his power slam, pins him, gets the win. So can we give this referee a raise?
Yeah.
Because
he actually did his job, right?
He did his job and prevented cheating from happening not once, but twice during the course of this match. Give me a shot, Josh in the booth, of who the referee was, because I don't remember off the top of my head. I need to see his face. So we'll see which ref... Ayers. Good job, Ayers. Referee, Josh, isn't it first name Josh also?
I forget his first. That sounds familiar.
But Ayers is his last name. So, kudos. Let him ref everything, because he caught the cheaters.
Yeah. I didn't really understand. Is it going to be Nakamura and Cesaro versus Strowman at the Rumble?
No,
for the belt.
No, it's gonna be Braun versus Nakamura for the title.
Uh-huh.
Braun's gonna take out Cesaro. Braun's gonna take out Sammy, and then someone else is gonna align themselves with him, and that's the guy who's gonna help Nakamura steal a victory.
Mm, okay, I like that. Any ideas?
No.
You want to tell them who's gonna be with them?
Drake Maverick.
I mean, he would fit in with Sammy's choice of clothing. So.
Actually, no, you know who?
Who?
If they wanted to do it, I don't know how the crowd would respond. Drew Gulak. Because he had that issue with Braun.
Yeah.
And he is an intellectual. Mm,
yeah. I think that would be a really good group of guys.
I would love Drew Gulak in this group. Can we put Drew Gulak in this group?
We do need, like, I feel like we need, like, a good, but the three of them are good, but.
Jason Ayers. Charo,
like,
correct me. Jason Ayers.
Mid-card group.
Yeah.
Like, we never have... It's always just, like, it's got to be main event or nothing with groups.
We need a Disciples of Apocalypse again.
Yeah.
And this could be it.
Could be.
We have a little Sheamus promo referencing the Rise Above Size slogan that Shorty G used last week.
I think he kicked it right out of the universe.
He said he didn't rise again. Small isn't something to be embraced. It's to be exterminated. So now we have Sheamus on his return. You want to feud him with Gable? Fine. Why does he have to do it about him being short?
Because he's powerful. He's strong. He's tall.
What does that have to... Why?
Because he's
Shorty. Can't we feud... Why can't we be angry about any other thing about Shorty G?
Because that's his name. So we can't do anything else.
God, can we be angry that he changed his name?
God forbid we do anything else about this guy without adding the height of him to this feud every time.
And you know, Shorty G is now eliminating Sheamus in the Rumble at this point.
Yeah.
That's like a given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God.
Or either that or Sheamus will just like destroy him again, and like he'll get in the ring and Sheamus will just kick him and he'll just flop over the top or something.
Well, I can see him kicking him, not like knocking him out, and him trying to like press him over his head to toss him out, and Shorty G like wiggles away off and somehow eliminates him.
Man, come on, what are we doing with Shorty G? I can't deal with this.
And don't get me wrong, I love the idea of a Sheamus and Shorty G feud.
Yeah.
I think it's good for both of them. Mm-hmm. But there's more reason to it him being short.
His whole thing was that I'm coming back to reclaim SmackDown from, you know, like what it used to be when I was here before. That's all it needs to be. It's like, hey, you're like a rookie and I'm a vet. I want to destroy you. You're not taking my spot.
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be about. Yeah. I did like him like being like, I'm going to, whatever you said, like embrace chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that because I think that kind of adds something different to Cesaro.
Sheamus,
sorry. They were in a tag team.
They teamed up for a while.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Sheamus will be in that group soon enough.
Half the SmackDown roster is going to be in Sami Zayn's group when everything's all said and done.
It's the new NWO, guys.
Well,
get on board.
Well, actually, now if you think about it, you're essentially all your heels are pretty much in two groups. You have Sami's group.
Yeah.
And then you have Corbin Ziggler Revival.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, everyone's just kind of aligning those two.
What other group is going to help? I think it's weird that they have, like, Ziggler and Rude and then...
Revival.
The Revival helping. Right? Because it's like you have two tag teams and then a singles guy.
Yeah.
In a group.
But one of those tag teams also does plenty of singles stuff.
Yeah, I know. But it's kind of an interesting... Are they going to make them an actual group, do you think, or no? Because I also don't like that, where it's like, okay, we're kind of aligned, but we're not like a real faction.
The Kingdoms, that name's already been used, hasn't it?
I don't know.
I think Ring of Honor used it.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong on that, though.
I mean, it could just be like Corbin's Court or something, because it's going to be cheesy anyway.
Yeah. And Ziggler stays in them trucker hats.
Ziggler, who's straight out of, what is he, like, straight out of, like, a 1980s, 1990s movie director?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah, the Kingdom is taken in Ring of Honor. Members on there were Adam Cole, Michael Bennett, Matt Hardy, Maria Kanellis, and Vinny Marsaglia.
There you go.
Okay.
So, yeah, Kingdom is not available.
Okay, but that's fine. It could be, like I said, it's going to be Corbin's Court, because he's cheesy, and that sounds like a cheesy name that he would be like.
Maybe we could eventually have then, if all four of them are part of it, they're the ones who carry Corbin on the chair instead of local.
He definitely needs the local people to do that. he needs them to get beat up.
I just want to interview one of them after they had to do that for a month and be like, so what was it like to have to bring Corbin on a damn throne each week?
Yeah. I want to know how heavy that thing is.
Well, you're carrying a 270-pound guy.
I don't know. I meant the thing. The throne as well. Like,
yeah, I mean, 270 pounds plus that, obviously, is divided by four, but
yeah.
I'm not a good math guy.
No. Still, I don't know.
Don't ask me math questions.
I mean, they knocked him over off of it, whatever that looks like, 2 weeks ago.
Dan O'Brien's in the back. He has a random package. By the way, in the midst... Earlier in the show, we didn't really touch on it because it was just a quick, brief little promo that Dan O'Brien was doing in response to the Firefly Funhouse. Mm-hmm. Ramblin' Rabbit popped up and was trying to give the secret on how to beat the Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
Bray silenced him. All of a sudden, now Dan O'Brien's in the locker room. He has a package. He opens it up, and Ramblin' Rabbit is missing part of his head. In. Didn't they already do that with
yes,
him?
Yes. Yeah.
Wasn't it the same?
It was with Seth.
Right. But then wasn't it the same type of injury?
No, I think it, I don't. No, I don't think it was. No, I think the buzzard ate him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ramblin' Rabbit dies a lot.
Yeah, but then he comes back, so.
He's like Kenny.
Yeah.
I think this is like the fourth or fifth time he might have died.
Yeah. He is Kenny from South
Park. I think the buzzard ate him at least once or twice. I like it, though. I thought it was, I mean, it's head games. It's interesting. It's, I don't know.
You don't think that was cheesy?
I think, because I think it's adding to Bray's thing of like, you know, he has this weird fun house and there's people in it that kind of feel like they're stuck there, but he's, you know, what he loves all the good, like he's trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think if you really break it down, like all of those people, all the characters in the funhouse are really probably just like different, like facets of his mind and of Bray. Well, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this one's the good guy. And, you know, the witch is just Sister Abigail, which we've never seen, you know. And then the buzzard's like, I don't know, whatever the buzzard is. And then they got the pig. So it's like, it's just weird. It's just all, I don't know. It's a mind.
Yeah.
F.
No. Roman Reigns. He's in the ring talking about how, as this year ended, I've been jumped a lot. Which, yeah. And I need the help of my family. 2020 is my year. And out come the Usos. And they talk about how, you know, you disrespected Roman. You disrespected him. You disrespect him. You disrespect me. You disrespect me. You're disrespecting all of our family.
Did he really have to say it like that?
I liked how he said it.
It was okay. But I thought it was a little...
I wanted them to throw Rikishi in there.
Mm.
Just get them all. We'll cut to commercial. We'll come back. Just continue to name the Anoa'i family.
You do that to him, you disrespect The Rock. You do that to him, you disrespect Rocky Johnson. You disrespect him. Right.
Peter Maivia. You disrespect him, you disrespect Umaga. You disrespect him, you disrespect Yokozuna. And so on and so forth. Interrupted by Corbin. And he's talking about how you're putting this on your family. And eventually with the promo, it gets announced that even though Reigns and Corbin are both in the Rumble itself, they will both still have a match prior to the Rumble and then both be in it as well. And in the meantime, though, Corbin and Ziggler are going to take out the big dog's little bitches.
Oh,
snap.
Man, got real personal there.
Leading to Usos versus Corbin and Ziggler, who... Yep. I should have known that was happening. I don't know why I didn't even get ready for Teddy Long. The match eventually gets interrupted with the Revival, but they don't attack anyone yet. Mm. And then Roman Spears Corbin out on the outside.
After Roman came out and Superman punched both of them with one punch. The Revival,
yeah. Superman punched both of them with one punch. Then speared Corbin, and the ref called for a DQ. So Roman got his cousins disqualified on their return.
Good thing we don't keep records here.
I mean, that's what family
they
does.
They drop to the bottom
that's
of
what
the
family
ranking.
Does. They're at the
tag
bottom.
Title shot.
Yeah, they're at the bottom. So they all start brawling, and Roman is setting up the announce table. Meanwhile, the Usos have been taken out, and Roman is setting it up to get rid of Corbin. But out of the suspended ashes comes one Robert Roode. We talked about it last week. We said it's probably about time for Roode to come back from his suspension. Here he is.
Right on cue.
We hate to say we told you so, but ladies and gentlemen, we told you so!
Oh, we're going to have to play that every week. Roode, Ziggler, and Corbin beat the hell out of Roman. Roode goes for a spinebuster to put Roman through the table. However, the table didn't feel like breaking.
No.
Ugh. So then they're like, we got to break this before we go off the air. Hold him down, Ziggler. Hop on the table and just do your elbow drop.
Yeah.
and he just did his standing jump and elbow. That broke the table. Corbin, Rude, and Ziggler. And, well, I think the Revival at that point were gone. But they stand tall as SmackDown goes off the air.
We've seen this so much.
Yes, we have.
Like, this didn't need to be the main event of SmackDown this week. Right?
I agree.
Like, something else could have been the main event. I mean, I don't really know what.
Miz and Kofi.
Yeah. Yeah, why did they go right into that? Yes.
Yeah, that should have been the main event.
Yeah, I agree. Because this was just... But also, that match, we had that match last week as well. And then it's like they buried him under the announce table, just like they did the Rude.
Just like they buried Robert Rude. So does this mean Roman is suspended?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... I'm kind of over seeing this feud. I can't believe it's still happening. This has been going on for almost 2 months now.
It's been longer than that.
I guess, yeah.
This feud, because it had Survivor Series. What was the pay-per-view before Survivor Series?
I just think it's...
Well, it had TLC, Survivor Series, and the one before that one. Whatever that was. I'm drawing a blank.
Hell in a Cell?
They had a match at Hell in a Cell, didn't they?
I don't remember now.
And didn't they do something in Saudi also?
I don't remember.
No, there's so much.
But I'm kind of over, like, Ziggler playing second fiddle to whoever the top heel is on whatever show he's in.
Well, right? Anytime they try to put him as the top fiddle, it doesn't seem to work.
I know, but he maybe do something different with him.
No, impossible. Impossible, I say.
Like, but this is the same group that was on Raw, right?
Almost.
It was McIntyre instead of Rude.
Yeah, that was the only difference.
I just kind of overseeing these groups that aren't really groups.
Yeah.
At least if you're going to like create a faction, go all the way with it. Because at least like Roman and Usos, okay, yeah, that could be a good group. I understand that. But also, there's a lot of repeats on Raw and SmackDown when you really think of it.
Of course. That's what we're here for.
No, I know, but come on, guys. You have Seth and AOP, and now you have Roman and the Usos on this show.
Yep.
Because it's like, hey, guess what? They're both in groups, in a group with three men. Let's give them two more guys.
It's got to work again.
But doesn't... I don't know. I'm just perplexed. Do they not talk to each other? The creative writers on both teams, or both shows.
No, because they're the enemy.
Yeah, and you're copying the same show. You're copying the exact same show.
I don't know at this point.
But that's why
I'm really hoping at Rumble, something massive happens, whether it's in the Rumble match or another segment or something, and something drastically changes as far as the type of feud on who's feuding with who.
It's got to. Like, I can't take Corbin Reigns anymore. Like, their match should be whoever wins gets in the Rumble. Done. Or whoever.
Ooh, I like that, because then one of them's not even in the Rumble at all.
Yeah. Like, we only have 30 guys in the Rumble.
And Brock took one of the spots.
Yeah. And Bray did, too. No, let's just start.
we're just starting rumors now here, guys.
But, yeah, I mean, if anything, you're going to have NXT people in there.
Sure. You'll probably have one or two legends.
For some reason, I mean...
You're going to have Fury or Velasquez or both.
For some reason, you have...
Can we have Dominic Mysterio in there, too, while we're at it?
Heavy Machinery in there.
Otis and Tucker will both be in.
Tucker, sorry. You got to sit this one out, buddy. Otis is the star. Otis gets in the Rumble. We need to see a Caterpillar in the Rumble. That's all we need to see.
Oh, God.
He's got to be that big guy. I guarantee the Big Show is going to be in there. Mark Henry.
It is in Houston.
But just think really though, if they do NXT people in this Rumble, it's 10 from each maybe.
Are they going to do that?
I don't know.
Have they announced that?
No, but I mean, if anything, okay, then if they don't do that, maybe 5 NXT people.
Okay.
So then we get 12 and 13 from each show and then 5. There's like 60 people on each show.
Yeah.
I don't know how we really do this to make it entertaining. You know? Yeah. Goldberg's going to show up probably
again. Stop! Again, they listen! Don't give them this idea!
Shawn Michaels?
See?
We told you so, but ladies and gentlemen,
God.
We told you so!
Triple H.
Stop. Okay. I can we mute him?
This is starting to sound like a Saudi Royal Rumble. To be honest.
Oh. Yeah. Oh God. No. No.
Who else gonna bring back?
Shane McMahon's gonna win.
Hogan. Hogan's gonna be in it too. I heard he just had another surgery. He wants to wrestle at Mania. So. Could you imagine he comes back and wins and then goes against Brock and
no,
Mania?
I'm not going to think about anything of the sort. We are done with this conversation.
All right, fine.
How dare you?
All right, fine.
All right, but that pretty much wraps up this week's SmackDown. I know we're laughing and joking and having fun. I do have to talk about something, you know, very serious and sad, as unfortunately, like to try to end. I don't mean to end it on a low note, but before I get in, Tom, please plug your social media and everything.
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TomTheCom, and my Etsy store, Connolly Central. Mm. And donate to these fires in Australia.
Yes, please. Do what you can, because it's insane out there for sure. So I wanted to take a few minutes at the end of this show. First off, Tom, thank you for letting me do this after Buzz. Thank you for letting me use this platform for this, because I needed to talk about a guy who actually passed away this past Monday. His name was John Ian. Now, some of you might have heard that name over this week. Kevin Owens brought him up on WWE's The Bump. Excalibur brought him up on this week's AEW Dynamite on commentary. John Ian passed away this past Monday at the age of 48. He was a ring announcer and wrestling promoter out here in Southern California for many years. And to say that he helped and gave opportunities to literally hundreds over the years of talent out here would be a vast understatement. And he gave me an opportunity as well. So I first met him back when I was a ref. So I started wrestling in 2005, first met him probably around 2007 or so. He was the ring announcer for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG, and I started to get booked as one of the refs. So we met over that time, and then he started to run his own wrestling company in Anaheim called Mach 1 Wrestling, where he asked me to come on board as one of his referees, which I was thrilled about, because, hey, more bookings. And right off the bat, when I started working for him at that company, I noticed something very different than I saw from other wrestling promoters. That show was full of young students and people who were scratching and clawing to try to find a spot on any type of show. And he created this Mach 1 Wrestling show as it was the only, at the time, a weekly independent wrestling show out here. It ran every Friday night. It was a 90-minute show. And depending on what time it ended, if you ran outside of the parking lot, we were right by Disneyland and you could see the Disneyland fireworks. It's like we had our own pyro. And he brought all these young people in to give them an opportunity, to let them try to develop their characters, develop their wrestling skills, and build up an audience, build up a story with it. And it was around late 2009, 2010 that I really probably hit the first impasse of my personal wrestling career. Because I came out here wanting to be a commentator, but people didn't really have much of the equipment. It was like at the days when YouTube was just starting, so we didn't really have recording abilities, but I still wanted to be a part of the wrestling community, so I kind of fell into reffing. And now technology was starting to evolve a little bit, but everyone was just booking me as a ref because that's all everyone knew me as. And my body, the reason I couldn't wrestle is because my body can't physically do a whole lot of stuff, and it was starting to take a toll on me from the reffing. So I was kind of in an impasse. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to have to do. And I, at one point, told John Ian about what I was really always hoping to do in wrestling. And maybe a couple weeks later, because I would ref for him for several weeks, then might have a couple weeks off, then he'd text me again to work. So a couple weeks went by, I get a text asking if I was free to work that day, that Friday. So I go out there with my bag, with my ref gear, and I look at the card in the locker room, and my name's nowhere on the card because Norman says, this person versus this person, referee, that person. And I'm nowhere to be seen. And I go to John. I'm like, well, so what am I doing this week? He said, oh, you're my commentator now. You're going to sit over there, and we're going to see what you can do. He gave me an opportunity. And for a year and a half, almost 2 years, every Friday, I got to work on being in front of a microphone and calling wrestling matches and telling stories. There was a point where a few months in, there was a young, I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him because he still wrestles out here, but a young guy, super babyface, and he was terrified because he had to cut a babyface promo in the ring during the show, and he had no idea what to do. And I gave him a couple tips, and John overheard me and then asked me after each show now, they started recording, you know, post-match promos with some of the guys. Mm-hmm. So I want you there to watch and critique and take notes and give them comments, give them feedback. Mm. And that's actually where Flobo, everyone, all you AfterBuzz guys know Flobo, he was the interviewer for that. So Flobo got his wrestling start from John Ian as well. And all of a sudden from that, John Ian then offered me to be a teacher and gave monthly promo classes to the wrestling students there. If you see any of these wrestling interviews of people like who've been in the business a long time, they always say, I owe everything to wrestling. Wrestling owes me nothing. And you want to do whatever you can to leave your mark and pass knowledge to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And John Ian was the first person to let me or see in me that I had some type of knowledge, that I had some type of talent. And allowed me to start giving back. I never would have had any of those opportunities. I never would have been comfortable enough and confident to be behind this microphone mm-hmm. every week if I didn't have this opportunity from John Ian. And the really thing that upsets me is I never got to thank him. I never thanked him. Now, why did I never thank him? Because I didn't think of it. Because everyone, we're all busy with our lives, doing a million different things. We don't take a few minutes to just sit back and reflect and think of who helped you along the way. And I mean, I remember when I got my start here at AfterBuzz, I was hella nervous because I'm got to be entertaining and engaging on the microphone every week talking about wrestling. But then I realized, no, John Ian prepared me for this. And I didn't ever take the time to reflect and thank him. And so I have a little homework assignment that I want to ask anyone watching or listening to this to do. I want you sometime, maybe this week, take a few minutes and just reflect on someone who might have helped you at some point with something in your life, whether maybe someone introduced you to who became your significant other, maybe someone gave you an opportunity like John Ian gave to me, maybe someone, a teacher, always had this quote that always stuck with you whenever you were in stressful opportunities. Whatever that situation was, take a second and think about that, who that person was and what they did for you, and reach out to them and thank them. Text them, tweet them, call them, whatever it may be. Just thank them. We know there's a lot of negativity in the world, and we know there's a lot of, you know, people questioning, you know, their own self-awareness around the world. Some people may need it, some people may not. But thank them, because it's going to do a lot, not just for them, but for you as well. So thank you for letting me share all that. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. And once again, thank you, John Ian. Good night, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.